Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you've come here to be with us, that you've brought us together, a community of believers. Help us to better understand your love toward us and to respond accordingly. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, amen. We tend to think about ourselves first. This is a reflection of our selfishness, our sinful nature. Even when we would think about God, self urges us to give it attention, but it is God who deserves our worship and adoration and faithfulness, for he is our creator. To our discredit, he gets our leftovers, our suspicion, our disrespect, and our infidelity. He has been misunderstood and misrepresented ever since Lucifer began sowing seeds of unrest in heaven. I have taken the liberty of borrowing numerous passages from Ellen White, a servant of the Lord. We think about the faith that we need to accept God. We have this all turned around. Did you hear what we were thinking? We're thinking about what we need. We can't help but think about ourselves. This is our human condition. It doesn't do us any good to focus on ourselves. No good at all. We are in continual danger of getting above the simplicity of the gospel. We need a change of heart, and this can only be obtained by seeking God individually for his blessing, by pleading with him for his power, by fervently praying that his grace may come upon us and that our characters may be transformed. It really is quite simple. I was going to ask Dr. Mark to examine this, but maybe I can figure out that this implanted into a man's heart isn't going to do him any good at all. Not at all. And this is what we have to work with until the Lord gets a hold of us, until he takes our stony hearts and gives us hearts of flesh. Have you ever thought about whether life is worth living? If you don't think so, then you've missed God's purpose for your life. You have been deceived by the enemy of your soul. You know, we get excited about many things. What if on your way home today, someone ran into your car and did a couple of $1,000s damage to your car and took off and no one caught his license plate? You'd be pretty upset about that, maybe for a long time. But how do we feel about the idea of losing our inheritance, of being lost, and forever separated from the God who gave us life and a future of unbroken promises and even more than every good thing we can imagine? God loves us. How does that make you feel when somebody says, "I love you"? It's pretty powerful. Here are some things that can be said about this love that he wants to share with us. Supreme love for God and unselfish love for one another. This is the best gift that our Heavenly Father can bestow. This love is not an impulse, but a divine principle, a permanent power. The unconsecrated heart cannot originate or produce it. Only in the heart where Jesus reigns is it found. In the heart renewed by divine grace, love is the ruling principle of action. Wouldn't you like to have power and a direction for your life? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. When the heavenly principle of eternal love fills the heart, it will flow out to others. Love is the principle of action, modifies the character, it governs the impulses, controls the passions, subdues enmity, and elevates the affections. This love is as broad as the world and as high as heaven. It is in harmony with that of the angels. This love, cherished in the soul, sweetens the entire life and sheds a refining influence on all around. Possessing it, we cannot but be happy. Let fortune smile or frown. And if we love God with all the heart, we must love his children also. This love is the Spirit of God. It is the heavenly adorning that gives true nobility and dignity to the soul. It awakens a desire for a better life. Souls ready to faint are strengthened. Those struggling against temptation will be fortified and comforted. Doesn't that sound like a cure for all the world's problems and all the hard feelings that we have towards one another? The words, the expression, the manners throw out a bright ray of sunshine and leave behind them a clear path toward heaven. The expression of the countenance is itself a mirror of the life within. Jesus desires that we shall become like himself, filled with tender sympathy, exerting a ministry of love in the small duties of life. But what do we bring to the table? We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outward appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What would it look like, what would it feel like, to live in a world where you saw not the important thing, but the unseen, and that was what was most important? This world that we live in is just that. It is confused. It's hard to believe that we cannot just follow our sight, but we must see by the eye of faith and take the hand of grace. I used to think that evil would try to keep itself well hidden, but one does not have to look very deep to see evil forces and interests at work. Similarly, our Lord has not left us alone, but he is nearby if we will take him at his word. We have not been left alone to fend for ourselves. Our brother has gone before us to pave the way and guide us safely home. It's a good thing that someone knows what's happening around here. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God knows each one of us from the womb to the grave. He knew that we would all sin, that we would choose to disobey him, that we're all selfish, and that our natural way of doing things is against his nature. And yet, he chose to keep us and to associate himself with us. Would you still want to have anything to do with someone who treated you as badly as we treat God? We were made in the image of God. Do you know what that means? Have you ever met someone, or have you ever seen someone who you'd rather not meet or know anything about? God knew about all of us before we were born. He knew what we would do to his name. He is the one who took the chance, but still, he came to be one with us. We love our kids. We make sacrifices for them, but they don't seem to appreciate what we're doing for them. But we just keep on trying to do the loving thing and hope that the love is returned. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Do you care to trust your things to someone you don't care for? And so many of us tend to have some misunderstanding of God's true nature and his orientation toward us. We grow up in this world, guided by damaged parents who give us our first impression of the nature of God. And we often blame God whenever things go wrong against us. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So that is our opportunity to make it through this life in peace above the clamor. Jesus said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. This is he who we seek to follow. He has all power. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. The love of the Father toward a fallen race is unfathomable, indescribable, without a parallel. This love led him to consent to give his only begotten Son to die, that rebellious man might be brought into harmony with the government of heaven and be saved from the penalty of his transgression. The Son of God stepped down from his royal throne and for our sakes became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be partakers of everlasting joy. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, shadowed with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. And Jesus bore all this untold sorrow that we might be changed to his divine image and become the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We should try to comprehend the wonders of this amazing sacrifice. We should dwell on the marvelous love of our Redeemer till our stony hearts are melted in contrition and gratitude. The love that stirred his bosom enabled him, the spotless Lamb of God, to become an offering for the guilty transgressor of his Father's law. It sustained him in his purpose to save the fallen race amid their heartless ingratitude and scorn. This love strengthened him for temptation, reproach, torture, poverty, shame, and death, the unfathomable depths of redeeming love. It was a costly sacrifice that the Lord of heaven made. Divine benevolence was stirred to its unfathomable depths. It was impossible for God to give any more. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why is our gratitude so limited? It is only as a ripple on the surface compared with the great tide of love that flows to us from the Father. As this wonderful, priceless gift was bestowed, the whole heavenly universe was mightily stirred in an effort to understand God's unfathomable love, stirred to awaken in human hearts a gratitude proportionate to the value of the gift. To rescue us, he descended from one humiliation to another until he was uplifted on the cross to draw all men to himself. The Son of God could not have shown greater condescension than he did. He could not have stooped lower. How strong, how reliable is this love? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes I get concerned about things that are happening in the world, but I realize that I'm powerless. There are forces and agencies and personalities at work that I know nothing of. But again, God is in charge. So if we choose to follow the Lord, there is nothing that can get between us. There are not a lot of things we can rely on in this world, but we can take this one with us all the way to heaven. Man was God's workmanship, made after his image, endowed with talents, and fitted for a high destiny. But Satan has worked to obliterate the divine image and to impress his own image in man's nature. This kind of puts all of us on the same playing field, doesn't it? Nobody's any less. Nobody's any better. Jesus condescended to humble himself, to take human nature, and by uniting divinity with humanity, he proposed to elevate man in the scale of moral value. All heaven was poured out in the gift of God's dear Son. Through faith in him, the sinner could be justified, and God could yet be just in justifying a sinner, for Christ had become a propitiation for our sins. The only plan that could be devised to save the human race was that which called for the incarnation, humiliation, and crucifixion of the Son of God. After the plan of salvation was devised, Satan could have no ground upon which to found his suggestion that God, because so great, could care nothing for so insignificant a creature as man. The redemption of man is a wonderful theme, and the love manifested to the fallen race through the plan of salvation can be estimated only by the cross of Calvary. The depth of this love, even angels cannot sound. That God could consent to become flesh and dwell among fallen beings to lift them up from their helplessness and despair is an unfathomed mystery. He whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, whose dominion endureth throughout all generations, made himself to be sin for us, that he might be lifted up, that he might lift up all those who are bowed down, and give life to those who are ready to perish. So, in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female he created him. Does this tell us what we're worth? God knew each of us from before we were born, and yet he still chose to call us brothers and sisters. He knows each of us individually, not requiring definitions that we usually think of, you know, as charitable, strong, smart. He knows each of us much more intimately than that, different from one another. As we follow Christ, sometimes we think we're losing our freedom. But in 2 Corinthians, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had eaten some of the apple from the tree, when God called out to them, "Where are you?" We feel ashamed and have been running from him ever since. When it comes to the end of life, what will be important to us? Psalms 19:7. This is how it is. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. It's hard to see these things. It's hard to visualize them. And so we are told, we are all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We're changed into the same spirit from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we have difficulties that come our way, we should thank the Lord that he has not left us alone to just think everything's fine and to go on our merry way. But look for the Lord's wisdom in all things. The Lord Jesus came to our world to represent the Father. He represented God, not as an essence that pervaded nature, but as a God who has a personality. Christ was the express image of his Father's person, and he came to our world to restore in man God's moral image, in order that man, although fallen, might through obedience to God's commandments become enstamped with the divine image and character, adorned with the beauty of divine loveliness. And of those who are thus transformed in character, it is said, now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And this is also what the Lord thinks of us. The Lord hath prepared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He tells us in many different ways. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. And now, since we have this forgiveness, what should we do with it? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. How should we regard this priceless gift planned for us while we were still sinners? All we can do is to love the one who made it possible. This is what he has always wanted from us, as he has said over and over. Does anyone ever plan something hoping to fail? A couple does not find a home site, design a house to fit the surroundings, choose the interior trim and finish to coordinate with the furnishings, purchase the new furniture, and not hope to live in it. Do two people work on a relationship, going through inconveniences, coordinating their schedules so that they can spend time with each other, and finally become married, expecting that they're going to get divorced? So God plans for us to succeed, and God never fails unless we get in his way. We are the object of God's affection, and he didn't create us to have us fail. In this life, there's often failure and disappointment, but that's not part of God's kingdom. And he enables us. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. God's got plans for us. When we think things are going well for us, we think we're the ones who made things come about and work out right. But we deceive ourselves, and we should thank the Lord that he allows us to fail, so we recognize our dependence on him. What should be our relationship with him? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Right to the point. It says, fear God. Does this sound like the kind of relationship that we should have toward a loving God? Here are some examples of the kind of fear that we usually think of. Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Or in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But this is the kind of fear that we ought to have toward God, like the kind of fear of your being afraid of hurting someone you care about. Ecclesiastes 8:12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And what about our duty to serve God? Well, this is what's expected from us. As parents, we train our kids to obey us, so things will set well with them later in life. They learn to respect us, and they appreciate. They love us because we demonstrate our love for them. They love us because we care enough to do the right thing by them. And so it is with God and us. We learn about God, and if we honestly look for it, we see his goodness and love for us, and our service becomes a labor of love. This is the only kind of service that is acceptable, just like the kind of relationship we want to have with our families. The ultimate gift, the final and everlasting gift, is heaven. Do we think that we would not be happy in heaven? God made us, he created our minds and senses and talents, and he makes it possible for us to contemplate and appreciate and have creative thought. We were created in his image, so he knows what we need and what will make us flourish and what will make life worthwhile for us. His plans for us are an expression of his regard for us, just as we want to give good things to those we care about. Are there things you enjoy? Nature, music, spending time with good friends, cooking, athletics, working on old cars, working with wood, searching for arrowheads, painting, designing furniture, traveling. Do you enjoy traveling at a high rate of speed, hearing your tires talk to you, and feeling your body pulled this way and that? These things are all made possible by God's creation and the abilities he has given you. We have not brought anything into existence. We can't create anything from scratch. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And this is what we need to do. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. May we stand for the closing prayer. O Father, draw us close to you, sustain us, lead us in the path everlasting for your name's sake, and in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Have a good Sabbath.